Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of The Green Room. In The Green Room, I get to unpack all those great stories and anecdotes and, you know, the business lessons I learn in talking to business owners just like you every single day. So sit back, relax, buckle up and enjoy this week's episode of The Green Room podcast. Hello everyone and welcome to The Green Room podcast. Today I'm talking about something that I think is really important, and that is why so many of us struggle to think down the track, even if it could potentially give us our ultimate payday. I've got a bit of an uncomfortable question for you. When was the last time you chose the smaller reward now over the bigger reward later and told yourself it was a strategy? Most owners do it weekly. And look, I don't blame them. We chase the quick wins. We have to. We have to keep food on the table. We worry that there's not enough work. We worry that the work will dry up. We worry around a whole range of things because that's how we have been conditioned to think, and that's how we quite often have to think. We've got families that rely on us. We've got clients that rely on us. We have all of these things in the day-to-day that are pushing on our attention, that are pushing on our consciousness. So we chase the quick win. We take the deal that pays this month. We skip the harder, slower work of building something genuinely different. Stephen Covey called this the big rocks. And then years down the track, we wonder why when we go to sell or go to cash in all that hard work, we wonder why the sale offer wasn't what we had hoped. There's actually a name for this. It's called temporal discounting. And today I want to unpack exactly how it quietly sabotages our shot at a serious payday. I've got a couple of clients at the moment going through a sale process, and both of them have exceeded their expectations. It's a fantastic outcome. And I've got a couple of other clients that we're working on a three-year sales plan. So we're really executing those things, putting those systems and structures and those leadership layers in that a client, that a potential buyer would really value. So why aren't we all thinking like this? What's stopping us? What's sabotaging us in the day-to-day to stop us from getting a serious payday? Because I've seen what that looks like, and I tell you what, it's pretty exciting. So what actually is temporal discounting? Well, temporal discounting is our brain's habit of undervaluing future rewards compared to present ones, even when that future reward is objectively bigger. So here's the classic test. Offer someone $1,000 today or $1,500 in 12 months. A surprising number of people take the $1,000 today, right now, even though the math says wait. The future dollar gets discounted simply because it's not in your hand yet. Now, it's not irrational exactly. It's actually wired in. It's in our DNA, uncertainty, impatience. That very human need to see progress now, not later. And you can understand that. Back in the day of the saber-toothed tiger, we had to kill and eat. We lived from day to day. We were nomadic. We needed to hunt and take opportunities to survive in the day to day. So our brains actually became very, very good at temporal discounting, at discounting the future for what we needed today. And so with that in mind, what does that look like in a business? Well, left unchecked, it's a quiet saboteur. It nudges owners towards decisions that might feel smarter this week, this quarter, but then could cost them millions at exit. As I said, I've got two clients right now, both received offers well above what they expected. Both built something with a genuinely unique position in their market. Both did the slow, unglamorous work of differentiation in a category that is, frankly, a bloodbath of competition. That's not luck. That's the compound interest of resisting the temporal discounting, of looking down the track, of really prioritizing the big rocks, those important things that aren't urgent in the day-to-day, but are going to get us the result and ultimately the payday that we're looking for. Let me tell you about Steve. So Steve runs a trade business. He's a good bloke. He works really hard. He's got a choice in front of him. Either invest in systems, invest in his brand, get the leadership bench really humming, the stuff that would actually make his business saleable one day, really create a game plan that he can execute on over the longer term that will really make his business attractive to a potential buyer. Or he can take on that extra job that pays the mortgage this month. Well, Steve takes the job every year. 10 years later, Steve is still the business, not our business, still the business. And when a buyer looks at Steve's numbers, they're not buying an asset, they're buying a job with Steve's name stapled all over it, and they'll price that accordingly. That right there is temporal discounting in action. The immediate cash felt more real than the deferred equity, and every time it did, the thing buyers actually pay a premium for, real differentiation, got quietly pushed down the list. It shows up everywhere, this pattern. I see it in so many. Discounting price to deal with the to win the deal today instead of holding a premium position. Copying a competitor's offer because it's proven instead of building your own category and your own IP. Delaying succession planning because today's fire feels much more urgent than tomorrow's valuation. Each one on its own, you know, looks sensible. Stack them over a decade, and that's the difference between an offer that surprises you and one that insults you. Now, there's a concept I lean on a lot. I read this book many years ago. The book's called Blue Ocean Strategy by Kim and Morgborn. Their argument in a nutshell, most businesses are fighting it out in a red ocean, a bloody saturated market where everyone's competing on the same handful of variables, usually price. And as I've spoken about previously, when everyone competes on price, it's a race to the bottom. We get equilibrium and profits are competed away. The winning move isn't to fight harder in that ocean. It's to make the competition irrelevant. Create your own uncontested space through genuine value innovation, not just a tweak here and there. How do you stand out? How do you make your business different? Different in a way that creates great value for your clients and makes the competition irrelevant. That's exactly what my two clients have done. They didn't out-discount their competitors. They didn't chase the next 12 months of revenue at the expense of the next 10 years of positioning. They asked, what does this market genuinely value that literally no one else is offering? And over a number of years, they built around that, deliberately, specifically, and patiently. That's the antidote to temporal discounting. In its purest form, choosing to build value that compounds over value you can bank next week. Because a buyer doesn't pay a premium for we're pretty good and pretty cheap. They pay a premium for there's nobody else quite like this, and we can prove it. Differentiation isn't a marketing exercise. It's the mechanism that turns patience into a payday. Here's something you can do. Go and have a look at everyone else in your industry. And the challenge we have is we're all, or most of us, start off as employees. We learn our trade, we learn our skill, we go out on our own, we apply our skill, we apply our trade. And the risk of that is we only know what we know. And quite often our businesses look like the businesses that trained us. And pretty soon, in for example, in a trade market where everyone comes up through an apprenticeship, pretty soon every electrical business looks like every other electrical business. Every plumbing business looks like every plumbing business. And if we aren't deliberate in how we look at differentiating ourselves in a market, if we aren't deliberate in really drilling down in who our ideal avatar, our ideal client is, if we're not deliberate in building those systems and skill sets in our people that really stands us apart, we will look like every other electrical business. We'll look like every other plumbing business. We'll look like every other accounting business. So three things I don't think most owners have properly considered. Number one, run a future buyer test on every big decision. Not does this help cash flow this quarter, but would a buyer in 5 years pay more for my business because of this decision? Most owners have never once asked that question of a pricing call, a hire, or a client they said no to, or a client they said yes to. So that's number one. Number two, audit what you compete on, not just what you sell. If your answer to what makes you different sounds like everyone else's, you're in the red ocean and you don't even know it. Get brutally specific about the one or two things you own that competitors can't easily copy. Build the model around amplifying those things that your avatar, your ideal client, would absolutely value. And number three, Put a number on not yet. So temporal discounting thrives when the future has no number attached to it. Get an indicative valuation done now. And again, every year, watching that number move up or down based on this year's decisions. Make the future reward concrete instead of abstract. And concrete rewards are a lot harder for your brain to discount away. So most businesses in Australia, according to the ABS, will sell for about 2.6 multiple. What does that mean? Well, 2.6 times net profit, effectively, with a few provisos around things that are backed out and so forth. But the reality is that most businesses won't sell. Most businesses will quietly close. And with 80% of SME businesses in Australia held at the moment by baby boomers who are trying to retire, a lot of them, and they can't sell their business because their business is them, relies on them, needs them, is all the IP is held by them, and they can't be part of the deal because they're looking to retire. Most Australian businesses and New Zealand businesses will quietly close. And that's not what I want for you. So what is your game plan? Let's start with the end in mind. What does that look like? So if we were to sell in 3 years' time, what number do we need to get to that will create a multiple that will help you retire, that will absolutely reflect the value you believe that you've built through your business? And then let's reverse engineer that. Let's start today by working through the steps, by getting those big rocks in place that are going to make the difference, that aren't urgent but are really important. What are the systems we need to build? What's the organization structure we need to build? What's a premiership list look like? Who do we need to get in? Who do we need to train? Who do we need to take on the journey with us? And then how do we coach and mentor those people, meet them where they're at, and really help them move up and empower them to take our business where we need to get to? And then get our game plan happening. So here's a question I'll leave you with. If a buyer walked in tomorrow, would they pay for a genuinely differentiated business, or would they be paying for you, showing up every day doing the job? And if you would like some help in building that sales-ready model rather than just running the business, that's exactly the work we do inside Business by Design. What's one decision you made this year that your future self at the settlement table would either thank you for or curse you for? Good luck.
If you like this episode of the Green Room podcast, I invite you to jump on my website, chrisgreen.au, and check out other episodes. Also, I have a fortnightly newsletter and a video. So jump on board and check it out.